Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. We're going to be doing it live from Calamity Kites Cafe at the 934 Manitou Avenue, Suite 105 here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. Also, I also have a stop here, too, in Colorado, in Manitou Springs, Colorado. It's at 946 and a half Manitou. Manitou Avenue in Manitou Springs, Colorado. Today we're going to take a call. We're going to be doing some readings here, so if you're in the Colorado area, please come on by the Calamity Kite, and join us. We're giving everybody a chance to ask a free question when you come in. So please drop by. We'll be here for 90 minutes, which approximately it's like... So we'll be here until 1:30. So if you want to get a chance to come in here and have an experience of getting a question answered, please do so. If you want to call in, if you want to call in tonight or today, I'm used to doing night shows, so hey, work with me here. Just call 646-721-9031. That number is 646-721-9031. So call in and give us a nice little call, okay? So we like to sit there and answer questions that much. So if you're out there listening, please call. But we're all looking for the ideal people coming by today. It's one of the situations of promoting the show. We actually like this is like our first remote we're going to be doing live. So this is like a different experience for us too as well. But we're going to still go into the whole thing because today we're going to be talking about a couple of things here and there. And our biggest thing right now is most people keep a relationship. So it's like welcome today. Okay, we're going to be doing that. Also, if you, again, just give the number out. The number is 646-721-9031. The number again is 646-721-9031. I also do private readings, too, as well, at my shop at 946 and a half Manitou Avenue here in Manitou Springs, Colorado. If you want to give me a call for an appointment, just give me a call at 740-500-8863. Or you can contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. It's .com. If you want to contact me through my email, that's psychicxjourneyman@live.com. When we sit here and look at the situation, there are certain things going on. Like I said, we're broadcasting live from the Calamity Kite Cafe here. It's at 934 Manitou Avenue, at Suite 105 here in Manitou Springs. Okay, so therefore, if I talk to this, it's a lady named Lynn Kent. So give us a call. Also, right next to the, we're also right next to Divine Wine. Divine Wine, the nice little shop over here, a little bar and stuff like that. Come in and go do a little thing, okay? That one is at 934 Manitou Avenue, 108, which is right next to us. Daily Wine, Daily Testing, customize your own wine, your own labels. They do all kinds of stuff. It's locally owned and operated by Dean and Tracy Wagner. So come out. We've got all kinds of things going on. So let's go to our first caller and see what's up, see what's going on. The thing I was going to sit here and say the most is relationships are very important to everybody. So therefore, the idea of getting more insight would help a lot. Most people are trying to figure out how do you know. And the thing is to know, to realize the connection you have. Whatever it is, and those they're not listening enough, and they're listening. That one in consideration too. Let's go to our first caller, which is welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good.
That's good to hear.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts. This is Amber.
You're where?
Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Okay, I used to have a place called Pittsburgh.
Oh, geez. A little distance.
Huh?
Sorry, I was answering somebody else. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I used to live in a place called Pittsburgh. You ever heard of it?
Oh, okay. Yes, I have.
So, if I may ask, when's your birthday?
11-18-88.
11-18? 11-18. That's for 18. Around the cup, really. Which means shoot, I got this right, okay. It's Scorpio Sagittarius. Personally, I think you have a lot of traits from Sagittarius, but there is an emotional trait. What can you trace back to being Scorpio? Or Scorpio, yeah, Scorpio. So how can I help you today? What is on your mind? Put that way.
My relationship with me and my boyfriend, we're dealing with a lot that we don't speak about, and I feel like this has to do with, like, past lives, and I just want to see how that, like, counteracts with what's going on in our lives today.
The idea of past lives?
I think that'd be pretty cool.
So do I. I get the impression of things to deal with, the idea of past lives coming through. But it's one of those things that you got to pay attention very closely because the way I look at it, it's our past lives are in the DNA. When we do go through certain experiences, those memories come to the surface and to help us what's going on at that time. So I actually get the impression there's like three past lives, recent past lives that you guys had together. It seems like in some ways you've had some experiences yourself already.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Like how so?
No, I just get the impression that you've experienced things that you are connected to the relationship you're in now. Because it's like, how do we put this? I'm trying to put it in perspective, and the idea of what I'm trying to say is, it's just, I don't really pick up what it is. I just feel like you've had experiences that can be borderline confusing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I get that.
What's your boyfriend's name?
Nick.
Nick.
Mm-hmm.
So how long you guys? And it's like this. I asked some questions because, realistically, I can't do the whole thing anymore. It's like I've had people call me up. I've had people call me up and say, "Well, you tell me what's going on. Why don't you just tell me what's going on? And I'll give you the impression. Make it easier for both of us in the idea of the situation." You know, that's what I get, because I have impressions, and sometimes I do pick up everything. But right now, the thing I get the most is there's a lot of things that you're going through, but you're going to have to experience on your level. And if I tell you too much, then you're gonna miss the spontaneous of the whole situation of what you're supposed to learn in the first place. So it kind of ruins that point, you know? And when we first started doing the show, the thing I was bringing up the most is get people to think about it, the connections that we have with each other, and that's the most important thing. Everything that follows, by paying attention to and trusting the connections you have, makes everything else easier. Our society is so freaking screwed up right now, and the idea of everything's hard, everything's, oh, I can't get it. I was like, that's bullshit. That's just bullshit, okay? We've been taught, you know, life is hard. We got to sit here and struggle. We got to thrive. And but we also got the information from people in their society who are just surviving. So they pretty much just compromised on what they wanted. Which they didn't really go out to at this point. And they settled. When you sit there and go, okay, you don't sit there and go, okay, no. That doesn't resonate with me. I need to, what I want to do. Strife between ourselves and relationships. Because people don't understand that. We are who we are. I heard this the other day. It was the best way of putting it, okay? This one person said, well, you're doing it wrong. You know, you're doing this, this, and this. And the person looked back and says, no, I'm not. I'm just being me. So why don't you try being the same? And I was like, boy, I've kind of set the whole thing, hasn't it? Like, we have no right to tell people who they are. That's for them to discover. And by being with them, okay, this helps us to discover who we are and the things about ourselves as well. Because I don't think there's such thing as, like I've heard this before, opposites attract. That's impossible.
Right.
We attract people in our lives that we don't understand, because we don't understand ourselves quite as much as we think we do. And that's what the whole thing's about. Here's this person. I'm going to love this person. In the process of loving this person, I'm just loving myself and actually opening up more and more and more and discovering things about myself. So that's the thing you need to really be focusing on, your boyfriend and the situation, and also being true to yourself, okay? When a person starts looking at you and starts saying you need to change things about yourself, what that person's really doing is saying, I refuse to change. So therefore, I'm going to knock you down. So I have to look at those situations and those infractions that I know I should really focus on and even consider changing. Those are things I don't like about myself. But here you are reflecting all the great things. And that's why a lot of women I've found out lately are thinking, okay, the guy ran away from me. What did I do wrong? I said, did you ever think that you didn't do anything wrong? It's the reflection that you're casting back at him that he's running away from. Realistically, he's not running from you. He's running from himself. So when you look at the situation, Nick, and that kind of stuff, I feel like there's something great here. So that's the one thing I would focus on the most. And then when past lives start surfacing, our memories, and for some reason, I feel like he's the one that would distance himself.
Mm-hmm.
That you need to sit there and, I don't say this in a mean way, I'm just saying people need to get a backbone. And when people start saying stupid things or being indecisive, I think it's really, realistically, our job to sit there and go, snap out of it, you know, embrace what you see, embrace what you feel. Don't run away from it, because most people that run away have a relationship issues, and how you have to deal with relationship issues if you're not in a relationship.
Exactly.
And it also kind of determines that the person who's running away from themselves really doesn't have a relationship themselves either.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would see it for what it is, and things would get better. And I think that, I mean, what if you asked one question, I mean, what would be the one thing about Nick that confuses you the most? The reason I ask the question, I do think of confusion.
You were breaking up, hon. I didn't hear you.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, I was saying, what would be the one question you would ask that you're confused about?
Like my biggest concern?
Yes, there you go.
Our communication. And we're not intimate. So I think that it all ties in.
Okay. Well, okay, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been intimate? I hate to say that.
Yes. When we first were together, that's all I thought it was about. And then now we're just at a standstill. There's nothing. We, like, barely even, like, just kiss, like, hello and goodbye.
Okay, so the communication is a big problem with you. I want to take it back further in the idea of communication. Where is the lack of communication at?
We just even, like, I try more than him, but, like, he won't ask me, like, how my day is. We have a daughter. He doesn't ask, like, oh, what do you guys do today? Like, just normal, everyday conversation. It just lacks. I have to, like, force to try and find something to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, when I first picked up on the situation, I feel like it's been good. It's just the idea, like, him pulling away. I wish sometimes people understand individuality does not mean being rude. Individuality
right.
means you have a foundation to stand on. It seems like the ideal of this situation. Lack of foundation for him. Also, the situation looks like there's some really craziness going on with a person.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost like scared of actually having conversations and getting too close.
Right.
You do feel like some ways he's also he's tapping off a new stuff. I mean, what I mean by new stuff, it means going back to past relationships. Instead of learning from them, he's actually acquired more excuses not to get intimate with somebody. You guys live
right.
together, correct?
Yes.
I also need a situation where it's like I hate to say this, but in some ways he acts like a typical guy who's in a relationship with somebody and gets to a point where he's comfortable. But at the
right.
same time, he doesn't
mm-hmm.
want to get, yeah, doesn't realize the ideal that it's like, the thing I would talk to him about is the ideal, your needs, your wants, your desires. And get to the point where, I mean, some people don't want to do that because they're scared they might actually find out that the relationship they thought was there is a person who refuses to be a part
right.
of it. Until they do, you don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the idea of looking at yourself and going, this is just ridiculous. I can only handle it for so much. But that's what I'm
exactly.
saying. That's the thing I get the most. The conversations have to be on the level. And it's like one of those things, if he can't do it, that's fine. I think you're confused sometimes, too, is because of what happened when you first met each other, that when he doesn't do those things, you're wondering if that was really him or is he just bullshit. Now you're starting to get to the point where I don't know if I really know this guy or not.
Right. I mean, I know he's dealing with a lot emotionally. I know, like, I'm very intuitive. I know a lot that's going on that he doesn't think I do. And it makes sense why he acts the way he does. But it's just mind-boggling because I know what we could have. I know what we did have. And it just frustrates me.
Well, it's the idea of looking at the situation, too, saying that you still have what you have. It's just a person refuses to be a part of it now.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, when I work with guys, I sort of say, you know something, I want you to give me, it's like, the thing is, this is the person you say you want to spend the rest of your life with, this is your significant other, and this is the one you don't talk to. This is the one you're supposed to talk to. You know, this is the person who's got your back on the whole thing. So therefore, all the things you've gone through to make you think that you don't, you need to get rid of. So here's a lot of stuff to get rid of. So it's almost like to the point where I get, instead of asking questions, it's the ideal of actually coming across and saying and just telling what you know. I mean, I have a tendency to do the same. I look at people and go, you know, well, I really don't know what I want. Yes, you do. This is what you want. So I let my intuition come out. And when you sit there and put it out there, you're not calling them out. You're just making it easier for them to say, oh, since this person knows, why am I holding back? It helps them understand that they have a problem, not you. You're not sitting there doing anything but being who you are, and why are they not? Because realistically, he's not being himself.
Mm-mm.
Okay, we consider look at the situation of emotions and that kind of stuff. But I also know for a fact that emotions have a tendency to create physical ailments in our bodies, too, because of what we hang on to.
Exactly.
So all the sickness he's going through within himself is realistic to stuff he chooses to hang on to. They should let go of. Of course he's going through a lot of things. Who hasn't? And that's the thing I get the most to. And I hate to do that, but that's what I do when I do relationship counseling for couples, is say, you know something? You're not here to enabling or make excuses for him. You're the one that is the person who really puts the foot in the ass. It's okay. You know something? It's like being straightforward. That's communication.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I teach about communication. Communication is sitting there looking at somebody when they sit there flat out. Because if he doesn't tell you the truth of what's going on, he's lying to you. On any kind of shit you want to look at. That's what it is.
Right.
So it's the ideal. You're not calling them out. You're saying, I know. So you can stop lying or you can stop hiding things. And personally, I feel like both are the same. You know, lying is basically telling somebody because you don't want to expose something. So, you know, hiding, and the word hiding is just another word for lying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just feel like the situation is the ideal straightforward, blunt conversation. I have a tendency that when people do that, when I do that with people, they have a tendency to go, you're rude. No.
Mm-hmm.
Who's really rude here? You're lying to me, but I'm the rude one. I'm just sitting there saying this is what's really going on, and I know. So you can stop, because it's like a lot of energy you're putting into these lies that you're telling me, the idea of hiding something, when I've always been here, which has always been in the beginning, I've always been here for you. So why did you take it to the point where you think you got to take this all on yourself? Let go of your macho bullshit, knock the blocks off your shoulders. And, I mean, that's what I feel like. It's a blocks on his shoulders where he just can't even pick his arms up to even give you a hug. And the idea of not being intimate with somebody is just ridiculous because, realistically, it's just the expression of love in itself. So, you know, why would he not want to do that? He's just taking this thing so personal. And the idea of what's going on with himself, they realize, and I know it might sound crazy to some people, but it's like you just take those situations and simple little things. Like, I take my bills and throw them in the trash. And people go, what do you do that for? I don't need a reminder. I know they're there. This is somebody, and the bills, basically the same thing about this. When the company sends you bills, it's also their fear that you won't pay it. So why would you want that piece of paper in your house that actually projects a fear, okay? And it also makes it easy for everybody else. So when you look at that kind of thing, as using that as an example of how easy it is to get rid of fears by just throwing them in the trash, it's also a great affirmation and a great visualization to sit there and go, okay, I don't need to hang on to this stuff, and neither does he. I don't care how important it is. I mean, I've had people come to me on crazy stuff. That's the reason I help my daughters out, especially my oldest one when she got in trouble. I refuse to feed into it. I just sit there and say, okay, why? They're making it important. They're making it such a big deal. When realistically you look at it from a point of view of just sort of looking at these people, they have to make it a big deal because if you don't, it takes their power away. Really, seriously, judges and lawyers and that kind of stuff. And it's always looking at me, look. Okay, and then we look at your boyfriend in some ways. There's a little bit of self-centeredness there too. You know, look at me, I'm going through all this craziness. So leave me alone. Okay, you want me to look at you, but you want me to leave you alone. It's a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, that's what I'm saying, it's the idea of looking at people going, if you want to take on this all by yourself, then maybe you should take it on by yourself. Instead of trying to work so hard, because, you know, realistically, this relationship should be 100% you. And realistically, you're the whole foundation right now. Let me ask you a question about the idea of the daughter. How does he interact with his daughter?
He's amazing with her. Absolutely amazing.
I'm just saying you should look at him and tell him, you see your daughter, that's great. You love her. You do some wonderful things with her. And it's not a self-centered thing. It's just a realization of saying, this girl is an extension of you, if not the both of you. So if he doesn't want to deal with you and the idea of what you reflect back at him that he needs to deal with, his daughter's not too far from him. How come he can deal with that on a different level? But she's all happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, look at the situation. How happy are you? Are you just working so hard on this whole thing that you've forgotten your own happiness?
Right.
I think and people have a tendency to have a hard time with that when you sit there and say, I want you to focus on yourself. That doesn't mean self-centeredness. It means focus on self. What is self? Because realistically, that's the essence within yourself that attracted the two of you together. And the more you work on yourself, the more you have these realizations about you and get really connected to that, you know, am I really taking care of myself? Or am I just so fixated on making this work with him, I've forgotten certain things I pushed aside in the favor of making this work. I'd say if you are, stop doing those things and start focusing on the ideal. If you have goals that you want to accomplish yourself, I just feel like the more you start focusing on those, I get the impression they'll gravitate to you because the thing that you had that brought you together in the first place still exists. On some of the levels, emotional, physical, spiritual. He's letting the world dictate what we consider and say cause blocks, but I still look at the ideal world. The world is dictating his actions when he should be focusing on what he really wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call a false sense of responsibility. Because he just interacts with his daughter, like, he doesn't think about it. And that's how it was between the two of you when you first got together. And he should go back to doing the same thing. Because it's like this, I've heard girls say, well, he can't do this and he can't do that. And I look at him going, that's just bullshit. He can do whatever he wants. He's still making decisions. He's doing what he wants to do. It's just he's made a decision, this distant thing. This is, I don't know, I get the impression it's tracing back to his family in some way.
He's
a guy who thinks, he needs to focus on all kinds of things. And the idea of taking care of foundation, individuality on both sides, and you've created something great. He wants to take the forefront, but I don't understand the tactics this way. You want to take the forefront, but you want to neglect your girlfriend. I don't like that. Is the biggest contradiction I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't, because you're part of the equation too, as much as anything else. Let me ask you a question: does his family filter into this whole thing?
Does he what?
Does his family filter into this? Do they interfere?
He really doesn't communicate with any of them. There's especially his mother. He is so distant from his mother. It's uncomfortable to be around when they actually are in the same room. We see them on holidays, like nothing like how I am with my family. It's totally different.
Well, when you look at his mother, who does she remind you of?
My mom, just wanting to love and care for her children and want to do everything she can to help, but he just doesn't connect to it at all. It's sad.
It's almost like a resentment.
Right.
Okay.
And I know what that goes back to.
What's that?
He doesn't know his father. His mother just lost him, and he has no idea what he looks like, anything about him. So I feel like that would make sense.
What did she do?
You're breaking up again.
Okay.
I still didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I can hear you now.
No, what I was saying was, I can hear you now.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was saying, does his mother refuse to tell him anything about his father?
See, I don't know that. I don't know much about his life. Not
well, that's one of these things. It's like, how old is your boyfriend?
He's 25.
Okay, I missed that one by a year. I was going to say 26, but I get the impression that's an actual indication of a person who wants to act older than they really are. I don't think he's really had a lot of experience for the maturity he claims that he thinks he has, which kind of reflects in your relationship. If he has such great
mm-hmm.
responsibility, you're part of that responsibility. And I'm not, I always tell women, it's not the idea of financial or anything like that. It's responsible, and the idea of what you give him, he's responsible to give it back because he
mm-hmm.
can and he wants to. So I can't understand. Plus, also, his family, is that, I feel like that's the problem in some ways, that he should sit there and look at the situation. The only reason they have a resentment between him and his mother is because of him. I'm not wanting to let go of that resentment.
Mm-hmm.
He holds your responsibility for a lot of things, but right now he needs to get his head out of his ass and realize one thing. The only person responsible for his life right now is him. If he
mm-hmm.
wants to carry on the whole thing about blaming his mother for the way he is, he's going down the wrong road. And I think, from what I can pick up with the situation, I think he resents you in some ways, too, because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I think there's a lot of resemblance between you and the mother, you know, and that's the reflection. He keeps seeing back and forth that this is just the way women are. So, therefore, once you get to a point, I'll give you what you want. But it's almost like he's done the same thing his mother's done. It's just an emotional way. And his mom physically said, okay, forget this and move on. I think he resents his mother because he's actually heard some stories that she hypothetically, that's what I keep getting with him, is the idea of she left prematurely. Why didn't she stick around to make things work? Because I think she has a tendency to talk that way. My mom's the same way. They're the most. My mom is like, I call her the most positive negative person in the world because she'll sit and tell people to focus and manifest what you want. Then my daughter walks in and she's going to go down to the store or she's going to go somewhere. My mom can come up like five or six different scenarios right then and there, the most negative ways that could happen. You could get in the car. You could wreck the car. You know. I said, Mom, wasn't you just saying manifest the positive? And you just told her all the negative things. Isn't that kind of like a contradiction? So, sometimes, and I had a tendency to resent my mother because she pushed me so hard to go into art and schooling and that kind of stuff that I actually walked away from it. And at first I was kind of resentful to her because she was always the one that was always supporting me so much in my art and that stuff like that. But the first time I decided to do what I really wanted to do, which is what I'm doing now, because I have a sneaky business, I have a shop, I'm working in someone else's shop, basically going to take over half the rent and the whole thing, my life's getting to the point where it might be a little hard with some of the steps, but they're still happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I also looked at my mother and what she created, too, on her own perception. So I just did the same thing. So instead of looking at her and resenting her, I looked at her, what she taught me, because all the things she accomplished, I'm going to do the same thing, the idea of having such a great example. And I think he needs to look at the same thing. He needs to look at all the positive things that she taught him. Maybe she made a mistake and left her husband, but that was one freaking infraction. She's been
mm-hmm.
a great mother since then, and the whole thing was going fine. And she also made a decision on base of what she thought she should do. That's what
right.
I said. He's just a little, I think this might sound crazy. But I think in some ways, he looks in the mirror and he kind of wonders what his father's like. I have a father. Well, but my mom basically picks up like, we've bought the house. We know the first living. So in this new house, he said, move back to there's an older place. Well, I'm not paying this. This is just too expensive. So she decision was not my decision. Okay, well, I can't argue and that kind of stuff. And so that's I see she came out.
You're breaking up.
Okay. Actually, when you start looking at the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
My mom made a decision and actually not just improved her life. We went from living in shack. My dad worked for Meat Corporation. Okay, it's a great job. There's no reason we should have lived in these freaking transferred churches into houses, contaminated water, that kind of stuff, okay? My mom decided to make a decision. She walked out. And then she got this, we had this house, and that's what she did. We stayed right there. My life went from having hardly any kind of clothes or just rags to being, went from preppy. Actually, I started my own rock and roll band and a whole bit. It just improved everything. We were just so happy, okay? He needs to look at things like that, how their lives improved by what his mother did, instead of looking at all the, looking at that one, because it seemed like he had this one vision of her, and that's what he's focusing on.
Exactly.
Kind of crazy, too, because intimacy, lack of intimacy he has with his mother, it just seems like, I've seen this happen a couple times. I mean, yeah, this is like therapy or psychology. Even guys do it. They'll marry a girl that resembles her mother, and then they'll sit there and take on this attitude. She's like my mother, and the intimacy and the closeness they used to have goes separate. But it's also a freaking perception in their own head, depending on how their mother treated them, or even their freaking mother-in-laws, where they have a tendency to measure themselves by their mother or and their mother-in-law, where they need to look at the situation and go, no, make your own way. I don't know where this syndrome started at, because it seemed like in the 1800s and back in those days, in some ways it was some people who measured themselves that way, but not everybody, who were the ones who actually strived out and had these, Heinz was one of them, I think, the guy who made Heinz ketchup. It's kind of funny. He never started off with Heinz ketchup. It was actually a vinegar company, I think, and became one of the wealthiest men in freaking history. And the things we see today, like in where these companies saying they can't do certain things for employees, Heinz was doing it back in the turn of the century, giving all of his employees all kinds of benefits because he always thought that a happy employee is a productive. These days, half these companies don't care. And if you look at some of the relationships we're having, too, people are not caring about the other person. All they care about is themselves. Now, that's self-centeredness. I don't care about you. It's all about me. But people don't realize in the process of focusing on you, the things that you change within yourself, the things that you heal within you, the things that you strive, the things you go for are your goals, your wants, needs, and desires. When you do those things for yourself, you're also a great example to others to do the same, especially to your significant other. So you're trying to make this thing work when all you need to do is be yourself. You're working too hard. And I don't care what life is. I mean, relationships are hard to work out. That's because we have a tendency to get in that comfort zone. Once you get in the comfort zone, that's when relationships going downhill. There is no such thing as a comfort zone. And relationships, careers, are nothing on this life. There's a point where you feel content with what you've created, and then you can. It just makes it easier to live it, embrace it, and be more spontaneous. But there are some times where we feed into things, you know, where the world will try to pull us to one side because of their perception. That's where the work comes in at. To sit there and go, no, we've got to stick to our perception, what we're creating between two people, not what the world can tell us, because you can tell that right off the bat right now. That's why we have such a high divorce rate. Huh? Am I going in again?
No, I was just saying definitely. No, I'm agreeing with you.
The reason we have a 60% divorce rate is because people listen to the freaking psychiatrists who are also based on freaking worldly sense. I've seen a couple people like Doreen Virtue. She's a person, she's a psychotherapist, but she also works with angels. And she can actually, she doesn't sit there and take years and months for people. She tries to get these things done as quick as possible so these people can actually have these productive relationships and lives. And they do the whole freaking thing. So you can see how angels and guides and all the things that we do have with us can override when we know for some reason a person's being an idiot. So I'm saying with you and the idea of the situation, just sit there and focus on being yourself, you know? And also the same situation, I've seen this a lot too, okay? When you have people that are sitting there going, he's never going to do it your way. He's never going to say certain things your way. He's always going to do it his way. So it's also the idea of having respect for him to do the same. Okay, so what you're doing is the more respect you have for yourself, the more work you do on yourself, makes it easier to sit there and look at him going, you know something, realistically, he's just who he is. Sure, there's certain things I'm not too happy with because of what he used to portray in the first place, which I do feel like when you first got together, I do believe that's him. I think the rest of this is just a resentment that has gotten out of hand. But I just feel like the more, that's what I was saying before, listen to your own angels and guides and everything like that, and focusing on you and actually connecting to your heart center. In essence, that also they say behind the heart center or the heart chakra right behind that too. They talk about that, the essence, your God essence, connection. And when I say connection to God, it means that it's like a extension cord. It's already connected. It's just the ideal of sitting there going, okay, that it exists. I don't have to sit there and figure it out because the freaking plug is plugged in the socket. The extension is where it's supposed to be at. So it's just the acknowledgement that something's happening. And I think it's the same thing with him. When you look at the situation, connecting to you more yourself, you're going to hear your guides, you're going to hear your angels, and they're going to help you in every situation. And every conversation you're going to have with this person or how to proceed. I think a lot of work you've been doing it through a worldly percent, you know, perception of looking and thinking, well, if I do this, looking at what I mean by that is a physical thing. You're not being intimate, but it's also the idea of how the intimacy happened in the first place. You know, we're focusing on, it's like I would sit there and say, it's the idea, what is the outcome of your relationship? What do you want? And it's not the idea, of being intimate or having sex. What it really is the ideal of having that intimacy back and the ideal of living it and having that life that you guys had the first part. So that's what I would do is I would sit and work with my angels and guys, get that visual in my mind, and basically focus on that outcome and forget everything else that's happening. Everything that presents itself to you, just forget it. Just say, okay, he's still acting in a worldly sense. But the more you act in a very spiritual sense, the more it's going to turn around. I feel like very strongly on that whole situation too as well.
Yeah, good, because I've been trying to focus on all that goodness, so I got to just bring it my way and learn more about it to actually put it through.
Well, a lot of people are caught up in the ideal of thinking the outcome is getting back together, not realizing the words themselves work against you. You don't want to get back together. You don't want to go back to where you came from. You want to sit there and merge back together because you both have become two different people. But actually the difference is that both people realize it's actually the strong point in the relationship in the first place. So everything happens for a reason. Everything's happening just the way it's supposed to. It's just that he doesn't, his thing is the lack of relationship he's having with you right now is because of the lack of relationship he has with his mother. She can be a hard person, but he's also not realized he's an adult right now. And he will for a long time. So therefore, take the responsibility. So that's what I'm saying. When I said to say a false sense of responsibility, a false sense of responsibility for me is a person who's taking everything on his shoulders because of what he's been taught in a physical sense. Okay? What he needs to look at is what is the real responsibility. The real responsibility for him is to take, you know, the things he needs, wants, and desires, and to do those things for himself. That's why he's having a hard time connecting with you. And you're so, and you're focused on the thing too, so you kind of like have a lack of connection with yourself, so does he. Because he's thinking his mom is his mom is the problem of why he is who he is. That's we do a technique when we talk to people, right? And we sit there and tell them, okay, you sit there and something just happened that made you realize you're becoming your mother. Okay? Do you like that? Do you like that? Because I guarantee if you don't like it, and there's something else resonating with you, that's why you're thinking that. Okay, I don't like being that person. My mom's a great person. She is who she is, but there's something resonating with me that says there's another solution, and I'm taking the easy way out by using what was taught to me by my mother. Just go this route, you know? But it's right there under the surface, you. You're what you've always wanted to experience or what you've always wanted to express. But when you were younger, you couldn't do that in some sense of the word because your mom was always constantly saying, listen to me, you know? And do this and this and this. So then all of a sudden you come to where you're going, I know a better way. Well, your mother's little perception just brought that to the surface. And you're right, there is another way. It's just the idea of sitting there resonating with it and taking it to a different direction and go, okay, how would I really do this? How would I sit there and deal with my kids? How would I do this and this and this? Because, I mean, think about psychology is because they're always pointing out the differences. As in, most people, until you teach people about the ideal that everything happens in your life as a learning experience, they come right out the back and say, you guys have differences. You know, she does this, you do this. And the first one I've always seen is the idea about parenting. You know, two people come together who've been taught totally different parenting skills. Well, realistically, that is kind of like a contradiction because we're also taught like attracts like. So there is a lot of similarities in the whole situation that we need to open up to look at the person we're married to or we're in a relationship with to actually point these things out to us. The same, instead of being so fixated on, no, this is how we discipline our kids, to sit there and look at the example that's been given to us to say, well, maybe there is an easier way or a better way. Which I did, my mom got mad at me all the time because I used to smack my kids' fingers. You know, I used to put them in the corner. Mm-hmm. And I used to sit there and discuss with them. I would tell them every freaking thing you just did. Not because mm-hmm. I wanted to sit there and look at their faces. It's because I want them to understand, why are you being punished? And then my mom would get so mad. And she goes, well, you're going to smack those kids all the time? I said, Mom, the way I look at it is you teach kids that everything has a consequence, and they won't go there. So you're not going to be beating your kids for the rest of your life. It's the idea right. They will learn. And you look at the situation. My youngest one was the one that really set the catalyst because I looked at her and said, you just took the trash out, and the trash is over the backyard. And she goes, yeah. You know how we do the trash. And she's like, yeah, we tie it, we take it outside. Why didn't you do that? Because you didn't want to. So it's a sign of laziness, okay? So therefore, since you didn't want to take the proper steps, so I told you, you're going to get your hands smacked. You're going to sit in the corner for 20 minutes. Okay, but see, the thing is, she used to come on the weekends. I had split custody. We had two daughters. And when mm-hmm. I sit here and talk to her, did that to her, she was the nicest kid all freaking weekend. Discipline does make a difference. People sit here going, you're just teaching them violence. No, you're teaching them violence because what's going to happen is people are going to resent those kids because they don't want them to come to their house. That's mm-hmm. the difference. So I don't really recommend that you smack your boyfriend's fingers, but I think you should in some kind of playful way.
Right.
You know? Like it's mm-hmm. some kind of something that resonates with you that you feel like I said, this is the idea. Listen to your guys and go, okay, how could I resonate with this guy to get him to open up because all the physical things are not working. So let's take a different route. Let's listen to our guy and go, okay, our angels, or both, all of them, and see what they mm-hmm. say when they look at the situation. Because I've actually gone into stores and go, okay, I'm going to get some brownies. My dad will kick in and go, do you remember what happened last time you had the brownies? He had some really bad headache. And they always look at things in a nurturing, caring way compared to the ego who comes in and goes, okay, why don't you just down the whole freaking box? You're going to love
right.
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And next day I got migraines for the next 3 days. But
right.
So they're always coming, helping you, just nurturing you. But in the process of nurturing yourself, you also come up with different ways to deal with him. And not really deal with him. It's the idea we're looking for intimacy here. Not on a sexual level either. It's more about the idea of intimacy between you. That's the thing that bothers you the most. It's just trying to figure how we get to that intimate part. Because we can sit here and look at the situation, sex can be pretty intense. And it's something that people don't realize that most intensity relationships on a physical level is because of the intensity of the relationship and the love they have between the two of them. And I think it's one of the things you're missing the most, but when you look at the situation, what got you there in the first place was being open intimacy, you know, intimacy between the two of you, what you said to each other, that kind of stuff like that. And I think that you represent to him a lot of things like that too. Where it's kind of fearful. And it's like a lot of guys who they don't have father influences, as in their fathers, have a tendency to fill their lives with their own perception, and it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes against them too. That's what up to the cost for them. As they go out into the world, and the world that's what it is. Really. A person who knows who he is. It's not the ideal of all these things like that. That's the Hollywood. I think there's some confusion with that whole thing, too. We take everything on our shoulders, not realizing you don't have to.
Exactly. That's what, like, so, what a relationship is, to help each other.
Exactly. So it's just the ideal that in a way to help him is just, no matter if he likes it or doesn't like it, it's the ideal of showing affection. Emotions, and then coming back and saying why. Because I've had a lot of people I ask questions, and they go, well, you asked me a question. I'm just a person asking a question looking for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should ask yourself why you're having such a hard time answering the question. Because it's not me. I'm just a person asking the question. But in the process of conversation, or I should say communication, it's the idea of asking questions and say, okay, I don't understand. And, you know, first and foremost, I think people should sit there and go, hey, let's ask my guys and angels what's going on here. And then also look at the connection that we have with each other. What kind of connection do we have? It should be very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many people asking me questions today, especially women are saying, well, how does this guy feel about me, who really don't know. But But the thing is, that's what we always say, focus on yourself. Because when you start focusing on yourself and your connections with your angels and your guides, they're always talking to you. And then you start realizing you have a connection with this person, which is like a phone line. It will give you all the information you need to know. All you need to do is take that information, get a backbone, and tell this guy, this is what I'm picking up on. This is my impression, and this is what I feel. I'm not sitting there asking you. I'm telling you this is what I feel. So why don't you open up and tell me, am I right or wrong? Because this is it's like being very true to yourself and saying, hey, this is what I feel. So why can't you open up to me, the one person you're supposed to in the first place? Because I guarantee. Because I'll sit there and say, I guarantee you to go ask for a woman to go ask a guy about a guy, you might not get the right answers you want. Now, 9 out of 10 times, a guy can go to a girl and ask a girl about you, but he's still not going to get the information he needs. He can get insights to what she would perceive because she is a woman. And the same thing if you want to ask a guy about a guy. You'll get those perceptions of what they think and that kind of stuff. But until you actually sit down and have a conversation with each other and actually be strong with yourself and say, okay, let's communicate, you know? I'm going to sit right here until you actually tell me the truth. Because I guarantee you once you do that, you probably can get better between the two of us and just say things like that. Because that's what people do. Yeah, too. I'm just saying, I feel like relationships are like they've always been. You don't hear the Bible. Adam's mother was bugging him all the time.
Right.
Of course. You know, I'm just saying, when you go down the whole situation, you look at relationships in the Bible, and some through a sense, you don't get this answer. It even says in the Bible, once you leave family, and once you responsibility. That's your focus. So your other family, they have their own lives. Now you have yours. And then become separate. Okay, so they're like family's family. But when he's saying, if he's holding on to issues from his family, he's not respecting the family he's in. The one he's actually created between the two of you. You can't go any direction. You can't go in any other direction. To look at situations of using those comments and say, well, do it on your own. And I think the strength of this is because of what you have. And he needs to acknowledge it. Also,
I agree.
I just tell myself. Anyway.
You're breaking up again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, I'm not talking to myself.
No, hold on. Can't hear you.
Okay, one more time.
Yeah, sorry. Third time's a charm. Go.
Okay. I'll talk to myself. And we're waiting for acknowledgement to see if she actually heard me.
All I heard was myself.
Okay. Well, that just drives me crazy.
You're all clear right. As day right now.
I'm what?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I said, call me and I'll talk to him myself.
Okay.
Okay. I thought I'd shorten the sentence a little bit so we could actually get the whole thing out. Yeah, we're bound to turn the information out. I don't care how long it takes me. Anyway.
I know, seriously. I feel like whenever I do talk to him, I do say, I feel this way. This is what I feel.
Uh-huh.
I always make it a point to do that. It's just, it's my biggest fear. I know I'm the one that needs to initiate everything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my biggest fear. But I know, like you said, once I do that, things are going to change for the good. And I truly believe that. It's just getting over my fear of actually starting it.
Yeah, it's like I said before, it's like listen to your guides and angels and say, you know, this time, don't be the one who initiates anything. you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of those things that if you are making an effort to communicate first because you're scared and you're scared he won't, then you're making a decision out of fear, and that's the wrong one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you feel like you've got something to say and you've got something to express and you just feel like that's what I got to do, no fear, you're just doing it because that's what you feel, then you're good.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good direction. But when you feed into fear, it just taps into their fears and it just makes things worse.
Right.
So it's the ideal emotion.
Like why I've, mm-hmm. I feel like that's why I've waited so long to go about it, because it has been just the fear. But I've been coming to terms, like, this needs to be done. This is beneficial for all of us in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No problem. If you want to call me for a private reading, I'll be glad to do one for you. I always tell people, yes, we do free readings on the show, but we don't, we actually charge for people in private sessions, but we also work with people's budgets, too, as well. So whatever you got, we can do work with. Anything. But
this was amazing. This helped me come to terms with a lot of things and open my eyes to actually believe in myself and that things can work out.
Yes, definitely. It's just looking at the situations of the things we have to do for ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun. People always talk. I was just on a Facebook and people going, what you need to do this and this. I'm sitting there going, how many people on Facebook actually do what they say? And I wrote actually with that statement on Facebook. I said, okay, guys, on Facebook, how many people actually go through with the spiritual crap that you keep talking about? Because I know some of you, and I know you're not. So I didn't get a response from that. I'm pretty sure it's people out there going, he knows me too well. Anyway. but when you speak your mind and you speak from the heart, people are not always going to like it. But one thing they'll never be, as long as you speak and be true to yourself, they'll never be in the dark with you. They always know where you're coming from. So therefore, the darkness they see is the darkness they refuse to face.
True, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. But like I said before, if you're not in a freaking category for doing private readings, which is only $1 a minute, because we're here on the show. We're here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, usually 11 a.m., and then Tuesdays and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. So if you need any more help or you want me to talk to him, you're more in the, please give us a call.
All right, that'd be great. I'll definitely take that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Oh, you're welcome.
Have a great day.
Have a great day. You too. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Let's go on to our next caller, which is actually area code 410. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your
Hi
name?
Hi there. This is Anna.
Anna.
Excuse me. Yes.
How are you?
I'm good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland, and for over a year I've been... I'm sorry?
I used to live in Maryland for about 8 years.
Oh, really? Which area?
I lived in Montgomery Village, Gaithersburg.
Oh wow!
I used to go to Lake Forest Mall quite a bit, Rockville.
That's so funny. I lived in Montgomery Village a year ago. That's so funny.
I heard it's kind of gone downhill, but
yeah, it could be better.
When I lived there, it was classified as one of the richest counties in freaking Maryland. Now it's like. I was talking, sister still lives in, I think she still lives in near, well, now she lives in Pennsylvania, but she works in Maryland and near Hagerstown. And then my brother lives in Virginia.
Oh, wow. So I'm surrounded not by my family, but by yours.
There you go. You know, if you want to, you give my sister all the time. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Well, I was in a relationship which I recently ended for the last year, which is just very troubling for me and off and on. So I'm here now after I've, you know, broke things off, and I'm just kind of in a weird place, you know, just kind of doubting my decision, but then kind of hopeful for the future. So I'm just wondering what you see around the relationship and, you know, my future. for a relationship since I made this decision.
So the question is, you're asking what it's going to be like in the future, and your relationships. This person you just ended with, I mean, is there something about the situation you want to get back together, or is it just, am I just picking up lingering memories?
I think it's memories. I've threatened so many times to end it before, but I kept holding on. But for some reason, you know, actually this last time, I actually prayed for Archangel Michael to help me cut away all the cords, and ironically, I don't feel anything, and maybe I'm sitting here thinking that's weird, but I'm just kind of
some people feel
like, oh well.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm thinking that's odd because I did threaten, you know, enough times before and took him back, and now I just don't feel anything. So.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the reason you don't feel anything is because the ideal of Archangel Michael did help you cut loose the cords. Well, the cords were more about the ideal, realistic. Well, let's see how I would put this. It's the ideal of the truth. You cut the cords to see the truth, because what you were still hanging on to was past memories, the relationship of how it used to be instead of what it was going on. So therefore, you cut those cords. So therefore, you start realizing, I have no feeling here. It was more, once like you almost get the impression, sometimes it was out of, I want to say pity. Like you're feeling sorry for this person. Almost to the point where you're wondering, but it never was up there with your expectation. You know, the idea of wants and needs and desires, what you really wanted, was always something more that you were giving instead of actually receiving.
Right.
Would you agree? Yeah. So Archangel Michael cut the cords, so therefore you can see it for what it was. It's the ideal relationship. It doesn't exist anymore, and you're able to let go of it, move on. That's actually a really good thing. That's good strength, because it helps you perceive what you really do want. So the next relationship that you have will probably be exactly what you've always wanted.
Well, I guess my question is, I mean, was I hasty in my decision? Because part of me always fought with, well, what if you break up with him and he turns out to be, you know, he makes the changes you've been looking for? But then the other part of me was just like, he's not going to change.
That's true, too. But you should also take a step back and look at the situation and ask yourself, did you actually find somebody on the same page? Or did you find somebody that you were hoping to be on the same page?
Yeah.
Well, I was actually in a relationship with my ex-wife for about 10 years. And it was one of those things that if I went to her, she'd become a person to realize she can't have what she wants, to realize. Okay, she never did. She actually ended up, I think she had at least five affairs, and she actually won in the first year we were married. So I was so caught up in the ideal, thinking that she changed, I would get what I wanted. I didn't realize that, did I really want this? Do I really want to be, I mean, I do work with relationships and work with people and that kind of stuff and help people all the time, but they shouldn't be in our relationships. We should be attracting people that are on the same level as we are. So the idea of asking yourself with a situation, do you really want to attract people that need to change, or do you want people in your life who reflect you?
Right.
And the idea of exactly what you want. Because I feel like something with a situation of past experiences, okay? Or it's like some kind of emotional thing where you can get an impression of a person who have what they want. So they got to create it. They got to work at it and make it happen. Not realizing, no, you don't. That's the work you do for yourself. And if you continue to do the things you're doing now with yourself and the ideal of self-realization and keep working on yourself and working with your angels and the ideal of discovering the best you, somebody else will see it too. And you don't have to sit there and go, well, I wish. You're going to sit there and go, wow, they can't, you know, what is your wish? Your wish is not the ideal of finding somebody who might be what you want. You actually want to focus and develop that wish that actually says, no, I want what I want. That's what a desire list is. It's the idea of writing down a list of your desires and giving it to the universe and letting the universe deliver to you. And I always tell people, listen to the idea of delivery. Okay? You mail something or you order something offline. You only order it once and you get it. It's the same thing with the universe. God or angels, I actually say all together. It's like a big unity of all these people, all these entities working for us. So we should be very successful. We should have great relationships. But until we actually realize that relationship with ourselves, that we can have exactly what we want and realize it. Because that people, one thing, it's like changing terminology. Stop saying, I'm not perfect. Yes, you are. And you, once you start realizing that, you'll start attracting perfect people, perfect opportunities, situations. And what I mean by perfection is the people that reflect you. Of all the things that you've cleared, that this is what I want. I want great relationships in my life, great friendships, supportive. I want great opportunities so I can actually go after what I'm hoping for. It's like you ever hear people say, I hope it happens. You can still hear the fear in there. They're saying, I hope it happens, but if it doesn't, but I hope it does. I say change it. Change it to faith and hope. I have faith and hope. See, faith makes hope stronger. So therefore, you go, I have hope and faith that everything's on this list, I will get. I have the power within me to create anything I want in my body, life, whatever it is. You have that power within you. It's been given to you, and people keep saying, well, I don't like going to churches. And there are some churches I go to, don't get me wrong. But the one thing I hear the most is they always focus on how unperfect you are. You come from a perfect being. You were created in the image of a perfect being. There's no other way to look at it as being perfect. Okay? Duality came about because we decided to have indecisiveness about ourselves. Adam decided to. As I call it, I don't say he ate the apple. There's no apples in the Middle East. There's fig trees, but there's no apples. And that's what I see, you know. That's how society's actually blown through that proportion, you know. That we, it just kind of trickles down to the rest of us, even our relationships, that we are listening to these people when we should be listening to our angels and guides who actually understand the idea of what it's at. So they come from the source, okay. These people that have a tendency to filter in. Like, for example, to make it simple for you, it's like in the Bible it says wise men came to Jesus. Okay, that's what it says. It says wise men. It doesn't say three. There are three gifts. It does say three gifts. But it's also kind of funny if you don't realize that in the process of that situation, somebody blew it out of proportion and said there's three wise men. And the reason they do, because it was under assumption. They assumed since they have three gifts, there were three wise men. I never picked up that much gold. I had a fourth one in there somewhere. But you also got to look at it like this. The people don't look at the elements that were actually brought to Jesus and the ideal gifts. What do those elements mean? Anybody ever explain what those elements mean? Because frankincense has actually been classified from the ingredients to create a philosopher's stone, which is also connected to alchemy and the idea of creating minerals like lead into gold and stuff like that. How are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Doing good. Just sitting here doing a radio show and talking to people as we go by. Also, we're trying to get this thing done, too, because I'm so caught up in everything. But it's also the ideal of Adam eating of the tree, okay? In the Middle East, it's the fig tree. It's not an apple. If you can find an apple tree in the Middle East, no. But I don't see one. So when we start looking at certain things of in proportion, which if you put back in the context they were supposed to be, it has a tendency not just the ideal of giving you different information, but correct information. So in life, it makes a difference. So what the situation is to listen to oneself and actually go by from now on. Now I sit here and see the situation where your heart is there. It's the ideal of paying attention to the connection. If it's really connected to the others, it's something you're giving of yourself. Which is nothing wrong with giving love. It's just the idea of a person cannot, if a person keeps going through these infractions constantly, not following through, you have to take that into consideration. This person's reflecting back at you that you are in a good, or you are in a place in your life. This, you don't look at the idea, well, I got to change, I got to do this. You accept yourself for who you are. When you accept yourself for exactly who you are, then you see people in situations for what they are, especially when they don't reflect you in the true sense. or they reflect back at you, that's, you know yourself really well. That's a good thing. I hope that makes sense. You there? Hello?
Sorry about that. My phone keeps, the screen keeps cutting out, so I can keep up again. But that makes sense. I just, I'm just sitting in that, like I said, this weird space right now. Like, did I do the right thing? And, like you said, I think sometimes it's more feeling sorry for him. Like, I told him not to contact me, and he did. And he's kind of like a little puppy dog kind of thing.
That's one thing I get the idea about certain things, about people like that. Realistically, if you've got this great relationship, you don't have to manipulate people into giving you other chances. All you got to do, realistically, that's what you should have done in that situation. But realistically, if you look at it from my point of view, is there are no such things as, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And everything fell into place just like it was supposed to. Okay? You're not responsible for him, but you did make yourself responsible for him more than you should have. But you should have took that energy. I tell people all the time, focus on yourself and the idea of what you see to improve on yourself. Because the person you're with refuses to do so. So it tells you that your reflection has dropped down to his level. Okay, that's why he's going to go up. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
And you're absolutely right. This person, I feel like I've tried so hard to communicate with him. He has given me such a hard time, stonewalling me. And there were lies, and there was another female, he was talking to, and just so many things. And even the night before I made my decision to walk away, I was trying to talk with him, and he literally just found some reason to get up and, go home and avoid the situation. So it's just, I tried, so hard to talk to him. And like you said, at one point I felt like I was pulled down to his level, and I couldn't stand it.
You're right.
So, okay. This really helps a lot, because I just feel like I said, in this weird place right now, and I want to be hopeful for the future based on the decision I made, but I guess it's just letting go of these little last feelings, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The situation and go, okay, so back down and haven't created a desire list, create one. And then go over at least 3 times a day.
Okay.
Keep your mind open. Just keep your mind open. Let people think I'm taking things off my list. Is that a good thing? Things on my
What's
list.
That?
Is that a bad thing? These are all, it shows progression. You're starting to realize what's good for you, what's not good for you. So you take things off your list, you put things on your list. Looking at things. Now, here's a technique I saw before. It kind of gives yourself a more of a focus. What the person does is he takes a pencil and he writes his desire list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what he does after he writes his desire list, he goes back over it with a black felt pen. I felt like one of those little marks with a really like a tip on it. And they these things. And what's so good about it is you're going back over it again. You're giving this more foundation, but you also start looking at this list, too, about the things that, are these really my wants, needs, and desires? Are these my goals I really want to focus on? And if you don't, as you're writing it back over with the black marker, you start realizing these, like, no. Yes. Or maybe you'll classify or clarify. Really put down the thing, what's the most important thing to them, and then you go from there. But sometimes they have a tendency to move those things around. But things have a tendency to get more important. People have a hard time with careers and relationships. Which one goes first? Well, actually, what you need to do is focus on what's good for you. And then there's other things you can get. These are two classes. Like you're right now. The desire list is not. How do I put this? A desire list is to make things where you open your mind. Okay, you think outside the box. I turn and go, well, like I have a fruit. So he turns. I asked him, how much you think it's worth, Joe? $16 an hour? I said, no, Joe. I'm not saying what the world would do. I'm saying, how much do you think you're... It took 2 weeks to get to the point where he understood what I was even talking about. But he finally said, well, you're worth it. I said, Joe, I'm priceless. Would you ask if I would have compensation? $1 million a year would be great. I said, think outside the box. Don't think about everybody tells you certain things and this, that, and the other. And like, you have a lot of things filtering in where you feel like you just because you did, but you got to look at how that was it you.
You're breaking up, Hardy.
Now I'm fluctuating back. Can you hear me now?
Still breaking up. It's like sometimes you're clear and then it breaks up.
Hello. Well, let's go on to caller. If I'm not mistaken, I think this is Karen.
Hi. Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you for taking my call. Your show is phenomenal.
Your name is your name Karen?
My name is Karen.
And where are you from?
I'm calling from Canada.
From where?
From Canada.
Oh, Canada. I thought you said something else.
No.
Trinidad. I was like, Trinidad.
No. Although I'd like to visit that someday.
Skype instead of doing my phone because for some reason I'm actually in a local area. The show a lot. This, which I have, I should have said before. Yeah, I do promote. I'll get it out there. And I was like, I was debating it back and forth. Should I do it on the Skype or should I do the phone? Finally, the same one came on. To get better reception. Oh, this is kind of funny. From Canada. When's your birthday?
May 7th, 59.
May 7th. Did you say 59?
Yeah.
And you said 59, right?
Yes.
Okay. 59, huh? It also saw you 59.
Yes.
I thought you were in your early 30s.
No.
Right? See, if you sit here and look at my point of view of being psychic, you really cannot pick up physical age with people. Because one thing is, physical age is actually humanity's interpretation right now.
Oh, interesting.
And we try to get past interpretation and look at somebody and, I want to do more work with it too, but I actually created this thing called Versus. What it is the idea of you physically doing certain things. Like you go around and talk to people and say, hey, you know, how old do you think I am? And it's like, say like you're in your 50s, but someone says you look like you're in your early 40s. What you do is you take that perception of what you're presenting to somebody else and you love it. And then you go and change your birthday. Someone says, like, say you're a boy. So they look at you and go, you're like 42. Yes, you are. So you start living that. So you change your birth year to actually go with what you're actually projecting. And then when you start focusing on 42 or 35, what happens is your mind and your perception is also hearing that all the time. So your body also adjust, and then you start living that life. So someone later said, is that truth or a lie? I'm like, it's perception. Just like you guys want to perceive that when I'm 34, oh, you're getting older. That's who. What does it mean by if you say the word 34, it implies that someone's getting older. It really doesn't.
No, I think that's young.
It's like yes. I've had a lot of people call me back. I'm going to call you back about more information on that because I want to do that. Because I've met a lot of people that don't present or they don't really resonate what they've been told. So, you know, And then, you know, birthdays or so. And some of these dating sites are getting my nerves. I actually went into one dating service, tried to change the year, and they said no. I said, okay, I'm not working with you anymore because this is my perception, my life, and my relationship. You're just the catalyst I got to go through, or should I go through? But, I mean, I'm not a person who likes dating services. I think in some ways it's pursuing, which is not allowing the law of attraction to do what it's supposed to do. Now, I've had some stories of this one lady got mad because she found her boyfriend on a dating site. But see, the way she found him, and she didn't know who he was. She was on a dating service, too. So what happened was they came together. This is the funny thing. What had happened was they both went on the dating services to go look for the person, to go look for the right person. And what happened was they found each other. And I said, well, he's on a dating service. Who cares? Look what happened. Whatever you guys do, it seems like it always brings you together. Even to a situation like this, you didn't even know each other on this dating service, and you still found each other.
That's cool.
So let's look at the outcome. Not really. So, the dating service was same, and look what happened. The universe just proved to you that you're supposed to be together, so come back. And they did come back together. Or people going and the other one was these two people were like high school sweethearts. They broke up, went through divorces, marriages, kids. 12 years later, they both joined the same dating service, found each other, and were married in 6 months.
Oh, my God.
Now, those are the stories I like to hear where it was just the catalyst that brought two people together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so wonderful to hear from.
Yeah. That's the thing that I like to look at.
That's cool. I love those things.
Okay, so. I want to sneeze. I want to sneeze again. I don't know. That's going to create that. Well, where'd you tap
bless
in?
You.
How can I help you? Was it a question you wanted to ask?
I did. It's so weird. It's like we're all drawn to the same show. I'm in a marriage, and I think I spoke to you before. An emotional affair. I caught it. It had turned into a sex texting, and anyway, I caught it, and, they both promised it was over. But I can't understand why I feel so weepy all the time. I don't know if I'm picking up something, the inauthenticity, or I'm just 100% sure.
Uh-huh.
Really trying to move forward, and I do good for a few days, and then I go back into that feeling, and it's like, what is that feeling again? What is it saying to me?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those things, your situation. It's like I watch movies from time to time, and it's like the emotions I pick up and that kind of thing from past experiences. And even the idea of once you experience something now, it's real.
Yeah.
I get the impression it's just one of those things of crying, emotional. It's bringing something to the surface. Just allow it to do so. I think sometimes we're scared of being sad. We've been told, you know, you can't be sad. You've got to be happy all the time. Well, you've got to go through that situation where you go, okay, something's coming to the surface. Okay, let it come to the surface. Honor it. You know? Say, hey, yeah, I was thinking that way. So let it go. You know, it's like the idea of, I met some girl the other day. She told me that she didn't want to even have a friendship with me because she was mad because I supposedly had told someone that she had deeper feelings. Okay? Well, I thought it was kind of weird. Because she never told me if she did or she didn't. She just said, I don't want to have friends with you. I don't want to be friends with you. Now, see, the thing is, she didn't say, I don't want to pursue a relationship with you. She said, I don't want to pursue a friendship with you right now because I'm scared of you. Now, if you take all those together, look at the situation, you could analyze it too much. But if you look at it just briefly, if something comes to the surface later on, of a realization, it could just be giving you information saying, well, she wasn't scared of you as in the physical sense. And it helps, what it does, it helps you also to look at people and their actions. Look what's really going on. Look at yourself. What was the thing I told her was nothing. She just said, I don't want to pursue a friendship with you. I said, okay. And she said, okay, thank you. I said, you're welcome. I was like, that was just too easy of a conversation for a person who could be scared of me. She just sits there calmly. So you sit there and go, okay, here's a person that you feel like she's lying to you. And what are you going to do? Are you going to understand why she's lying because you know her? Or are you going to sit there and go into your ego that says, I don't like liars, and kick her to the curb? Realistically, what you do in a situation like that, you go back to yourself and you go, how do I feel about this? How did this affect me? And deal with that. Because what we're doing is we're taking on too many people's emotions and feelings, and the idea of taking on too much responsibility that they should be taking on themselves. Yeah. But I feel like at that moment I could have come across like most people do, and got angry and just very belligerent about the whole thing, about, first of all, her assuming that I was talking to somebody else about her. Because I remember some of the conversations I've had, well, I've not even mentioned her by name. And the more I listened to her, the more I realized she said assumed, or the assumption, which seemed like she was overhearing a conversation, so talking about what I had said about a certain girl. So she just assumed. So it's kind of funny when you look at the situation, you have to go back to you. Because people are going to think no matter what you do or what you don't do. They're going to think what they're going to think. So you have to be true to yourself. So when you look at the situation, what you're going through emotionally, that's what I did. I looked at the situation going, I'm an understanding person. I'm a caring person. And that's the part I would rather focus on the most instead of going off on a person who lied. Okay, that's the idea of looking at the situation is just let them go. Even the idea it could be a preview to something that I had to listen to it, how it reflects with me, so I could be true to myself, so I could actually find somebody or attract somebody, which we'll go with the attraction part, to attract someone into my life that would actually appreciate that. Obviously, no matter which way you want to look at it, no matter how much you care about the person itself, you still have to look at yourself and say, you know something? I deserve what I desire, and I do not desire someone lying to me. It doesn't matter what level they are. You can still understand them because you understand yourself. And I understand there's sometimes where you don't want to talk about things. And I think that's where you should leave it too, instead of saying, I don't think, because it's like, the more you respect yourself, the more you see those people, you can understand them, you can still care about them, still love them. But you also have to be true to yourself. Say, okay, this person lied to me, so I don't want to deal with this person. That's the thing is, I'm not going to hate that person. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to not hate them. I'm just not deal with them anymore. Yeah. Because they still have some work to do, and I guess they don't want to deal with it because they refuse to see the reflection that I'm casting back. Which when you start focusing on yourself and you realize that, you realize at that moment you're in a good place. You're in a real good space. Yeah. This person's running away from you because of where you're at. Because they're scared of going there, okay? It's a reflection. Wow. They wanted it. But they don't do that. So we just respect ourselves and say, if you ever want to come here, you know, I don't know if I'll still be here because I'm still going to be progressing. But no, you choose to feed into the drama. Just to play games with you. No, you won't, because I'm taking my tennis racket where someone's going to actually serve back to me. And then we're going to have some fun. We're going to play a game, but the game we're playing is the game of life, of actually living together. Not the idea of someone playing tennis who wants to take the tennis ball and go, not now, and then go, how come you're going to play tennis? Because it's the ball. I'm looking stupid again with a freaking tennis racket going, no, I'm going to go somewhere else, do it on my own, get my own tennis balls, I got my racket. And it's a couple times, too, where a person will come back into your life and go, well, let's get back together. I'm sorry, I'm with somebody else. And playing with tennis, I respect people, respect myself. You already had a chance, you know, and it's just not happening right now. It's not the idea of looking at them and they blew it. Say, no, people have gone on. Okay? I have gone on to somebody else, and I think that's where I'm supposed to be at. Or maybe I should say, no, this is where I'm at. This is where I'm staying at. You know, you're coming back. Why are you coming back? And realistically, I don't think we need to know. I think it's just one of those things, putting the question out there. But why are you coming back? You don't have to answer me, but I think you should ask the question, why are you really coming back? Because I'm already in something. That's how girls do that. They'll sit there and say, I just have my ex-boyfriend. I said, really? across the room. I know he did. I said, you did not reconnect. A reconnection between two people happens between two people, which means they look to each other, they thought, they communicate, whatever it is. That's a reconnection. Not seeing somebody in the same room. Man, if you see your ex-boyfriends in one room, that'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Would you want to go back? You know, I even asked the lady, I said, you're in a great relationship now. She goes, yes, I am. I said, I think what's happening is you're not appreciating the relationship you're in now, so you attracted an ex-boyfriend into your life who didn't appreciate you to help you appreciate what you have now. And
oh,
she kind of
wow.
Like, yeah, she said, you know something? You're right. I wouldn't want to go back with him. No, you wouldn't, because you're in a great relationship now. Okay? Stop thinking about your fears, which is creating these situations, and focus on what you got, and they'll, first and foremost, you'll get closer to your boyfriend, and things will progress even quicker, and these other situations won't be happening anyway.
So do you see it being my fear that's creating this, or do they have a connection and it's just my fear of moving forward?
Well, the way it comes to me is the fear of moving forward.
Yeah, because everything seems calm right now, but I have just the weirdest gut instinct that I'm being lied to. And it's not that I'm after him because he's lying to me. It's just I just want to know the truth because life is about being happy and following our path with someone that's authentic to us rather than somebody lying to you to keep you in place so that they can play the game and mistake your niceness for stupidity, basically, or be perceptive of your fear and know that it's the fear that keeps you in place to meet their needs so they can do what they want to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying before, is the idea of being true to oneself. You know, if they want this, that, and the other, it's like, I was here telling this one girl, well, I don't want to be with this guy. Why? Well, because I love him. That's not a good reason. That's a reaction. Who you are. You know, basically what she's saying to me, I love this person. Yes, you do. So therefore, how's that what is that an example of staying with somebody or even getting with somebody? It's time. Or the ideal, we've been together for 14 years. This is not a job. This is not a career advancement. You know, it's one of those things that if you feel like you should do this kind of thing or go back with this person, then go. If the opportunities present themselves, then go. But also the thing I was going to say, too, the ideal of actually, you know, I'm afraid to move forward. You got to look at the situation, the word, move forward, or the statement, move forward, because life doesn't stop. It keeps progressing forward.
Yeah.
Just as you've just taken a break from life, not realizing life is still going on, so now it's time to jump back on that conveyor belt going to the airport. You know?
Yeah.
Just get going.
Well said.
There's a good airport. And just stand there by the moving sidewalks. Everybody keeps moving by. We can look at situations as opportunities and people and situations. But when you start looking at them even clearer, you'll start realizing that they're just people and situations moving by. We still have a choice. Okay, so just jump on. And when you jump on, the things that are right there in the same vicinity as you are the ones you should pursue and follow through with. Not the ones that are at like 10 feet up or, you know, even 5 feet. They're not in the vicinity as you are. So everything happens for a reason. Those are just examples. And then you finally see the right one, you're like, okay, let's go. Let's follow through. Let's get really spontaneous. What do I want to do? I'm just saying the desire list makes it easier for everybody in the ideal. And when you see these things, you just follow through. So it's like the fear, that's what I'm saying, fear makes you think, I'm not moving on. But fear itself is an illusion. You are moving forward.
Evidence appearing real.
Yeah. So I was looking at the situation going, well, when I saw her, I was talking to her and going, I was first and foremost, I was getting angry because of the things I've gotten. Said it was definitely her. But it also clarified a lot of things. Instead of getting angry about something, I started realizing that connections and bonds, they do exist. Just because they don't follow through, they exist. So the people asking the question, was it a true connection? Was it a true bond? Was in the sense of a soulmate? The answer is still yes. It's just the idea that a person has free will. And they can follow through or not follow through. Okay? It doesn't We all have free will. We can do whatever we want, no matter if it's good for us or bad for us. We can refuse to do or not. So 12 up, girls are having problems with confusion. Say, okay, well, this guy didn't follow through. So I guess it just wasn't what I thought it was, which means they're doubting themselves. So it's the ideal of saying, nope, I knew exactly what it was. I saw the opportunity. If it was the situation of someone missing out, it was the one person who refused to follow through. Since I was ready, why do we always blame ourselves?
Yeah.
Look at the situation and just keep moving forward. I have my friend keeps doing the same thing. She's like, you know, you're always constantly going out with girls and stuff like that. Yeah? I don't get the question. She goes, well, you say you like this girl really a lot. I do. But she's not committing. Until she does, I keep going forward. Okay? I keep going forward. There's an opportunity. Oh, there's a girl. Let's talk to her. I flirt with everybody. But then again, I'm single. Okay?
Yeah.
People have this freaking classification and all this freaking bullshit. They keep saying, you know something? You need to do it this way. No, that's your perception. You do it the way you want to do it. I'm going to do it the way I'm going to do it. Okay? So, you know, I've actually stopped clients. I was talking to a client one day, and this one girl walked up named Robin. I said, sorry, girls, hold on for a minute. I got to flirt with this girl. And I went and flirted with that girl. And I turned around, looked at these other girls, said, you ready for your reading? They go, yeah, let's go. And they're going, that's wild. No, it's not. It's living life. I wanted to talk to somebody, and I felt like you were very understanding, too, so therefore you would understand where I was coming from. And they did. Did some really good readings. It was a great day. Did Robin ever come back? No, but the point is, yeah, my intentions are forward.
Yeah.
So the seeds have been planted. So it's the idea forward. One girl who's got a few freaking thousand excuses to turn come forward, and it's going to become something very quickly. Okay? But that isn't just because you like somebody and you're in love with that person. You can still love them, but if they're refusing to do that, okay?
Yeah.
You stop until they do. It's the idea of give up on the person, but you got to continuously live your life. You got to live your life. I mean, if you don't live your life, then what are you going to be doing?
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing. You're right. Not the idea of nothing. Maybe we should use a different word and say focusing on getting back with somebody so your life has come to a screeching halt, which means you have fallen down on the freaking conveyor belt, rolled off, came back and going, should I back up? Should I wait? Or you should get off, go to the freaking coffee shop and live your life. I was telling my guys did one time where I was trying to find a solution to a situation. They told me flat out, you can't say you let it go, and you're allowing to happen, but here you are speaking about it, which means you haven't. So what would you be doing now if you wasn't sitting here waiting for this to happen or contemplating, you know, doing something? What would you do? I said, I'd be gym, then go to the gym. Because as soon as I got on the bus to go to the gym, this is when the solution happened, in action, not in the idea of waiting. So, you know, people say, well, should I wait for this person? No. You should live your life. Then they always come back and say, okay, you mean give up? Did I say give up? No, I just said live your life.
Live your life.
It's like, yeah, people are not missing pieces. You never had a missing piece, you know. They're just things that you haven't discovered about yourself, but they're still there. And when you meet that other person, you do discover more things about yourself by, you know, getting to know them. Those are all true situations of sharing. But also the sharing part was the ideal of your life, you know, your moments and stuff that you've already experienced, that you found out things about yourself, your likes, your dislikes, and you're actually able to communicate with somebody. But it doesn't mean, you know, when you meet that person, it doesn't go, I had a guy I've been working with now. He just gave up on this whole situation because he said, well, she's not giving me what I want. Well, she doesn't have to. That's not her job to give you what you want. Okay? It's your job to just be open. But when a person says, I'm in love with her, then you should be more understanding that she's not you.
Mm-hmm.
But he still wants this relationship. And his biggest fear is she's going to somebody else. He doesn't realize the universe does not distinguish. The law of attraction does not discriminate, okay? It doesn't sit and say, well, you're thinking about this bad thing, but here's a good thing for you. No, it can only manifest what you see is true. And if you feel like that this girl is going to go date somebody else, and that's what you keep seeing all the time, the universe is going to say, well, that's what he feels is true, and he's going to live that opportunity. Well, I see his opportunity because he's going to learn something about himself that if you focus on fear, you will get fear. Will he learn from that and see that? I don't know, but it's still a lesson. You don't always have to learn from those situations. But it's going to happen. And I keep telling him, I don't see that happening, but then again, I'm not the one creating your life. It's what you see that creates it.
Yeah. Wow.
So you can come back there and get mad at me, but you didn't listen to the last part.
Wow. That's so true. You just answered my question, too. That's what I wonder,
okay,
you know. If I'm looking at it and expecting it and feeling it, then that's what's happening.
So the situation, you know, that's what we always focus on everybody and telling them to focus on the outcome. I really determine what that outcome is.
Yeah.
Get back. You're focusing on it. It should be a deal of those are the things you want to experience with it. That's where it starts, and that's not your outcome. Dang it. All the person. You know, a movie, I can't say, move within hundreds. You imagine a white screen in your mind that says, I choose. Okay? What you do is you choose, and then you write all this stuff down that you choose in this situation, and then the screen also can be turned to as you go with these words and really let them resonate with you, and then you take that and you create that mental movie of what you see, and you'll see that when you start adding color and you start adding you know audio and all that thing, you start realizing that the movie is actually portraying livingness, not getting to that.
Cool.
Work back together or people, and you do the thing. Ask the question. Another for the relationship. Will be. You're asking, doubting it because somebody else. If you can take it one step further and go, determine what it is. Don't expectation. You have to look at it. Look down to what it really is.
Yeah.
They'll sit there and they'll see somebody as a potential relationship or a work or career. And they'll sit there and start thinking about the past. As you're thinking about the past, start looking at the situations in front of them. But they don't even see it because they go right to the future. So, okay, this guy did this. There's a guy like this that did bad things to me. So they're thinking about the past. And now they're starting to think about what he's going to do to them. Sure. But no one seems to see the person or the situation right in front of them. which is usually totally different.
Yeah.
It's just our memories of the past, our expectations of the future, tend to seem to be like a screen in front of this thing where we just can't see it. But boy, we can see all the memories and stuff of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Now realizing it's keeping us from the real, the thing we really want, what we need, what we desire. And that's, you're in a good place.
Sounds beautiful.
Would you agree?
Yes, I agree. That's what, that was well said.
That was what?
That was very well said.
Thank you.
I do love listening to your show. You have so many pearls of wisdom in each caller, and it's like you're speaking to all of us, and you shifted my perception, and I'm really grateful for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Oh, you too. Thank you. And you have a great day.
You too. Thank you for empowering me. I really am grateful. God bless you. Bye.
Has always been within you. It's just the human way I can actually kind of, I don't know, tarnish it.
Yeah.
I suppose it's the best thing to get the tarnish off.
Yeah. Wow. Like I said, well said.
Thank you. Wow.
God bless you, dear man. Thanks for sharing your gift with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. We'll be doing this again tomorrow. And, we'll be doing this tomorrow night at 9 p.m. 9:30, I think. And we'll be doing some more live shows. You know? Just want to do our meetings and talk to people tomorrow. People show. It's kind of hard to get people. Well, I say hi to them. I got a big sign here saying radio show. Okay, I'm like, okay, what else can I say for you? So,
yeah.
It's the only thing that you said, taken from what I've done here. Well, I do it my show. When I'm at my own shop. Yeah, that's why I'm saying people go, they come up for property and they're going, that was like 20 minutes. I said, yeah, and he thought you was doing the pump, you know? She goes, yeah, that's pretty good for the price. So I was like, $10. She goes, I said, yeah. I said, man, you're so good. You should be charging a lot more. I'm like, I think I'll take that into consideration because I've been thinking about doing that.
You have a beautiful gift.
Always saying, you just trying to relate to everybody else. I'm going through some things because of all the experience I've done where I've actually went through this kind of stuff. I actually hear me saying to somebody else, or even hear people come back and tell me the same thing. So everybody's being blessed in a situation like this. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's where everybody gets changed, right? Realization is more anything. Just sitting and checking, you already know the answers. Now it's time to and follow.
I feel like I've lost you. I can't hear you anymore.